All right.
So during the presentation, I'll let you know when there's 10 minutes left.
Not even getting started for 10 minutes.
Check if the speaker's working. The mic is working. Do you want to just say something?
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
I just want to make sure that it's on.
Say test.
Test.
Why is it not working?
Yeah. No. All right. Sorry about that, guys.
Is there anything we can do to make it more difficult for you?
It's not recording your
voice. No.
Okay.
There's not. All right. So. This is a talk about FreeNAS. I assume you all know that because you're here. So, how many of you have heard of FreeNAS? Right on. That's a lot of hands. I like that. So, I'm going to talk to you about how you get started doing work for FreeNAS from up here. This isn't the super low level detail C hacking ARM, you know, chip kind of hacking that you would go listen to in other cooler talks, but this is the FreeNAS Django talk. So. My name's John Hickson. I work for IX Systems. And this is pretty much my description here. I'm a BSD geek. I do lots of BSD geeky things. I work in several areas on FreeNAS. However, I'm primarily responsible for the directory services, the jails, plugins, and recently, SIFS.
Windows guy.
Yes, I work a lot with Windows, and I make sure that FreeNAS works well with Windows, and because a lot of Windows users use FreeNAS to serve their files. So you can knock Windows all you want, but we have to live with it, and we want to make sure that we work well with it. Sometimes I get to work on other things when they, you know, break me off my chain. And so when I have spare time, I work on PCBSD and even FreeBSD sometimes. But other than that, my daytime job and my nighttime job is FreeNAS. And that's a good thing, because I enjoy it. So that's why I do it, and that's why I'm here. So my company, IX Systems, we don't have a booth here. The foundation has a booth here. And FreeNAS has a booth here. Okay, never mind. We are the corporate sponsor of PCBSD. We're the corporate sponsor of FreeNAS. We have several people on staff who are FreeBSD committers. Several people here as well. We sponsor lots of open source conferences, this one included. And we give a lot back to the community. FreeBSD, PCBSD, FreeNAS, and so on. So I'm going to tell you what FreeNAS is, just in case you don't know. I'm going to cover how I created a new feature for this talk so I can walk you through how you're going to add it to the UI. And once I show you this new feature, then I'm going to show you how you would go about adding software to the system. And I'll explain why that's a little more complicated than it sounds when I get to that point. And then I'll tell you how you can contribute to the project. All right. So what is FreeNAS? It's a 100% open source operating system. I assume I don't have to explain the BSD license to you guys. I have to give this talk to Linux people too. So. Yes? Oh wait, questions are at the end.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. FreeNAS is built on FreeBSD and ZFS. In fact, we're trying to just eliminate UFS just because ZFS makes it easier for us and we don't have to support UFS just because we're lazy. We support all the major protocols you would expect from a file server. You should recognize these acronyms. And to date, we have over 6 million downloads and counting. And if you haven't downloaded it, download it so we can increment that number. Hey, as long as it, you know, as long as it shows up in the logs that it's downloaded, so. So here's a really simple graph, because I'm not very good at making graphs, so of how FreeNAS is laid out. So at the top here, you have the UI, which is the web interface for FreeNAS. And all of this stuff in the middle, so the Nginx server serves all of the static content. And that's connected through a local Unix socket to the Django, which does all the dynamic stuff. And Django, if you aren't familiar with Django, anyone familiar with Django here? Cool. It's one of those, you know, modern MVC, blah, blah, blah frameworks. But it's pretty cool, and it's in Python. So because of that, the bulk of our development is in Python. And then we use the Dojo JavaScript toolkit for all the nice, pretty JavaScript-y stuff. And then we have a REST API now so that you can programmatically do all the things that you do in the UI. And so everything that's up there at the top, it talks to our middleware daemon, even though it's not a daemon, but it's, yeah. And the notifier is, it's pretty much this big, ginormous stack of everything that does everything. So all of the top layers, they communicate with the middleware, which in turn, it makes a lot of operating system calls, and then it stores stuff in our SQLite database. We use SQLite. Not sure why. We just do. It's cool, though. And all of that sits on top of FreeBSD and the ports that we use. And FreeNAS consists of, I want to say it's around 200 something ports to make a FreeNAS system. Takes a little while to compile. All right, so those of you who haven't seen FreeNAS, I'll just show you what it looks like real quick. That way you know what it looks like before and after. All right, this is FreeNAS. Anybody, any of you not seen this before? All right, oh, you, okay, call it. I won't go over how to use this, that's another talk. All right, so the process to pretty much add anything to FreeNAS is similar to this, depending on what you're doing, but I'm going to go over adding a service. And so let's go back over here. So the services page has all of our services. So NFS, FIFS, iSCSI, et cetera. So we're going to add a new service here. All right, so I've invented this new service. It's called the Ponies service. And PONIES stands for Portable Object New Interactive Engine Service. It's just another acronym. So the first thing you do in FreeNAS when you're doing anything with the UI, because we're using Django, and because it's MVC and all of that stuff, you create a model. And so all of this, again, this is up here, so these are very simple classes just to demonstrate what the procedure you go about to do this. So this is the Ponies class, and it inherits from the base Django model class, and the rest of this stuff is just stuff telling the UI to show how to display the service name. And FreeAdmin is our FreeNAS admin class. Anyway, this is just a bare metal, not metal, bare software template. So you would create your model, which goes in the file models.py. And then the form. Let's go back here. I didn't explain that good enough. So the model is the abstraction to the database. Everything in Django is reflected in the database. So if you create a class like this, it'll in turn create a SQLite table called Pony, well, depending on where you're at in the tree, so this would be services, so it'd be called services underscore ponies, and it'd create a table for that. And then every field that you'd add to the class, it would then in turn make be represented in the database as a field in the database in that table. So it's just an ORM thing. And then the form is how it's reflected in the UI. And so you have to create a form, and our naming convention here is the name of the class, form. So here's our Ponies form, which again, this is just, it's just an empty class, make it simple, and it inherits from the model form, which is the Django top level class for forms. And then you have the view, and this is what's called when you make the actual request. When you type the URL into your browser, it'll go here, and then this will do stuff. It'll create the form, render it to the UI, and so basically here, I guess the name of the function here is irrelevant, but the render function will take a template, and so a template's just like a HTML page, and pass it in, you can pass whatever you want, and it'll take the table and it'll render it to the template, to the UI. So that's the models, forms, form, and view PY class. And that's the general Django way. This isn't a Django talk, though. So now, we're going to add an entry for this new feature to the database. And so once generally, I guess the procedure is first you do the model, but I'm showing all of that at the same time. But once you've made the model, you'll run a migration. So Django has a script called managepy, and it's used to do all of the Django magic that you can do from migrating to new versions of the class and so on. And what that means is, so you create the model, you run the managepy, you'll do what's called a schema migration. It'll look at the model class. It'll then generate this big bunch of gook that basically translates it into the database table and does everything I described earlier. And so once it's represented in the database, from that moment forward, let's say you want to add a new field to the class or remove a field that's already there. You then come back and then you run the migration, and it'll have a forwards and backwards method. And so the forwards method so if you add a new field, it'll add it to the database. If you remove a field, it'll remove it from the database. And this makes it so that you can have it basically like kind of like bootstraps it forward. So you have over a period of time, like let's say you've been working on this for a couple years, you can see the history of the class, and then there's a migrations directory created under the services directory here. And so you'll have, I don't know, you know, like some of these, we have like over 100 migrations, and you can see every field that's been added, removed, and it'll run, when you install, it'll just run those one by one by one until it's up to its current state. So here we create this migration, and all we're doing here is creating an entry in the service table called ponies, because FreeNAS needs the ponies service. So the next step would be making the middleware aware of our ponies service. And that's adding a method to the, or more, to the notifier. A lot of notifier methods for generic things look just like this. It's just start, stop, restart. Some of it can even be bundled or not even be necessary, but a lot of them there's a shell script that represents it, and so the middleware calls the notifier method, which calls the shell script. So this should be straightforward. I mean, it's one line. It's not Perl, so. And the startup shutdown script for ponies here, I've made this relatively simple as well. This just said everything went okay. There's not really much to do. I just want to show you how to start and stop a service. So what else is there? All right, and then the JavaScript. Everybody loves JavaScript here, right? So all we do is toggle, you know, if it's on, turn it off. If it's off, turn it on. And in FreeNAS, we have a lot of JavaScript too, and well, that's life. Anyway, so I will show you what all of this simple code has added to FreeNAS. So you got, you can move them around and they talk and stuff, you know, they say messages. They keep your data safe, they protect it. So.
Please tell me that you're keeping this in the official release.
You know, I've been asked to do that, but
the least of that would be great.
The, what is that, the Konami code or whatever? All right, so that's how you would add something to FreeNAS, and that's our Pony's service. So again, so now let's say you wanted to add audio to FreeNAS, you know, because your NAS needs audio, right? You want to play music, you know, on your speaker, on your NAS, in your 1U rack or whatever. So this is how we do this. So we use NanoBSD. How many of you are familiar with NanoBSD? Okay. Is there a love for it? Hate? Love, hate? It's I find it interesting, that's all. It makes life interesting. So for NanoBSD, so under our build directory, nano_env, there's an add nano modules function, which just adds kernel drivers to the system. And so these are, I don't know, I think one of these isn't necessary, but I just wasn't sure which one VirtualBox used, so I used both of them. But anyway, so this is how you do it. You just specify the path in the kernel source tree to the driver, and it'll do the rest magically. So that's how you would add the driver. Now you need an MP3 program. So I chose MPEG-123, and every time I do this, something's changed, because now we changed our system to where this isn't a different file, but it still applies, still same concept. So NanoBSD, we have an add port function, and it's straightforward. It's the relative path in the ports tree to the port, and it will handle all of the magic in creating the port and creating a package from the port. And so this is under OS base, which is our big file of NanoBSD customizations to build a FreeNAS system. And I won't go over the whole process to build an image because, well, that would just take too long. The only thing that I think I should show is this, because this is where people get kind of tripped up and confused. So you have to specify the target for the repo to use, and we have it kind of backwards. So we have a git internal and git external target for setting up the repo. The internal is for internal IX employees. The external is for to use GitHub as a mirror. I think it should default to just not even bother with this, but that's another story. So if you were to check out the code and you were to go to try to build it and you type make, it would blow up on you in this fashion. So please type make git external and it'll work if you want to try to compile FreeNAS, and you do. And then you would upgrade the system. So it would spit out ISO image, it would spit out an upgrade image, and so you upgrade your system, and now you have this nice new cool version of FreeNAS that has ponies in it, and it also now has MPEG-123 and audio drivers. So let's see if I can do this here. There we go. Can you hear that? All right, good. All right. So this is FreeNAS with audio. All right. I'm trying to kill it, guys. I am, but I can't get back. There we are. All right. So that's FreeNAS with audio. So how do you debug FreeNAS? There's all kinds of ways to debug FreeNAS. So in FreeNAS to debug, there's always, you know, these are the usual channels of debugging. We have a lot of logging. A lot of stuff by default's already printed to Varlog messages. Nginx, it has useful information. Being that this is a web application, you know, you see, you can look at the Nginx log and you can see if the paths, you know, are wrong or right or whatever, and then the Nginx error log, often if something explodes badly, you'll see a nice long Python stack trace in the Nginx error log. You can turn on syslog's debug log, and a whole lot of information will appear, more than you probably ever wanted to see. But when you don't know what's going on, sometimes you can find out what's going on using that. It's just you have to sift through a lot of stuff. Django itself has the debug option, and when you set that and you turn it on, instead of dying randomly without you knowing what's going on, it'll die on you in the UI. And so when you hit a problem in the UI, it'll just spit out a Python stack trace instead of you having to look for it. FreeNAS debug, it's not really for debugging, adding stuff to the UI, but it provides a lot of useful information about the system itself, you know, from like your zpools, your data sets, all of the kind of system stuff if you're trying to troubleshoot something going wrong with a FreeBSD system in general. And then JavaScript debuggers. I'm not really a huge fan of JavaScript, but we use it, and a lot of times something won't be working right in the UI, and again, nothing's being logged. You don't know what the heck's going on, and then you turn on the JavaScript debugger, and you'll see down there, oh, an exception was thrown, so I'm not going to display anything. So it then becomes really apparent or obvious that something went wrong. So how would you get involved in FreeNAS? So we are a very small team of developers at IX, and we would like more people to help out and contribute. We've seen a rise in people that want to help since we switched to Git and GitHub. More people are providing patches, but we'd still like to see more. So yeah, you can submit patches. Patches are welcome. You can do this on GitHub using pull requests. And if you're not a programmer, but everybody here is because you're BSD people, you can commit documentation. You could submit documentation. Bugs. We live in our bug tracker, so everything is filed through there, even feature requests. And we look at it every day, and we interact with the community that way. So if you're not a programmer, if you just use it, file a bug. If you find a bug, file a bug. If we don't know that something's wrong and you don't file a bug, well, you suck. So please file bugs. That gives back. That helps everybody out. You can document how you use FreeNAS. We love hearing about it, even if it's not good. Even if you say FreeNAS sucks, we want to know why it sucks. So the more feedback we get, the better we can make it. Even if you still think it sucks, just tell us it sucks. But why it sucks. And translations, we need translations. So anybody who can speak, write foreign languages and English, that'd be great if you can help out with some of our translation needs. So you get the code on GitHub. Does everybody here like Git? Okay. This is how you would get it. You just git clone the repo. There are some requirements right now. These will change soon. We've actually made a lot of work on this. But right now, you have to have FreeBSD or PCBSD 2 to compile FreeNAS. Yes, 9.2. But moving forward, that won't be such a problem. But for now, that's what you got to do. But you guys are all running FreeBSD anyway, right? So, except for the Net and OpenBSD people. But that's a good reason to install FreeBSD. At the top level of the checkout, there's a README file, and that'll tell you what you need to do. Here are some resources. Our website is www.freenas.org. We have a doc site done by Drew. So it's very thorough, very excellent. There's a lot of activity in the forums. Like all forums, they're very vibrant community. Our bug tracker is at bugs.freenas.org. We have an email list now too, and so you can email that as well. And the IRC channel, very much like the forums, you know, vibrant, lively, you know, community with interesting things to say. So to sum things up, well, FreeNAS is open source, and we all know open source rocks, so, especially when it's BSD licensed. FreeNAS can do whatever you want. If you want ponies that sing, you can add them to FreeNAS. You can extend it in any way you want. I won't say that it's very simple to get started in it, not because programming FreeNAS is complicated, but getting things into the system is complicated because it's kind of arcane, but we're working on that. And I, hopefully showing you my pony service will get you guys interested, because ponies are interesting. And anyone can contribute to FreeNAS. If any of you aren't programmers, or any of you don't want to program, or if you just want to help out in general, you can help FreeNAS out in some of the ways that I said that aren't programming. So, questions? Dan?
How long ago did you add this pony service to your personal FreeNAS box?
I added it a couple months ago. It's relatively new, and I've been asked by others, including my own boss, to put it as an Easter egg, so.
It means it will happen.
Perhaps. Not at this time.
Do you know of other examples of how FreeNAS has been extended by companies? What kinds of things they've added?
So, a former employee of ours, Alfred, and his compadres up there, they are over at Norse, and they're doing very interesting things with FreeNAS. Security-wise, I don't know the full details of it. I've looked at the website, but they've taken it, gutted out the UI, and done some other neat things with it, and they're doing really cool things with it. So.
At Norse?
Yes.
In just asking me.
Yeah, they're back there. So. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but you're on the spot.